Everybody here? Yeah? There you are. Okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the October 8th, 2015 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, may we have a roll call? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The portable air conditioning, if everyone could please.
Can you hear us out there?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I know. I have a big voice.
What's that? The time. Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Here.
And Mr. Sino is here. We have everyone.
And has everybody had a chance to read the minutes from the last meeting? All right. I will take a motion to approve, if there's such a motion.
Second.
All right. We have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? Okay. No. Okay. All right. Madam Secretary, do we have announcements?
I don't believe so, Madam Chair, just that if everyone could please speak into the microphones again.
Okay.
I have an announcement.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, Mr. Harrington.
December 10th meeting, I will not be here.
Okay. So I don't know if you want to come
forward. We'll do that.
Do it then?
Yeah, we'll do that then. And.
Yeah.
No, do it that. Yeah.
Okay. I'll only mention that just in case we don't have our new appointments yet.
Right. We do have some people that have applied.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
So maybe we'll get our full complement of members up here. So that'll be good. All right. Here we go. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Right. Everyone, here is our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and, for the most part, in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears some code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Okay. Sir, what is your case? Are you doing the lien review?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's going to be first anyway, so.
Good morning, Madam. Are you the chairman?
Good morning, I am.
I'm Madam Chairman Kundig. Kundig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm John Stanton on behalf of Jesse Gonzalez.
All right, hold it. Yeah, we're not hearing.
Me?
No.
Is it a microphone or me?
There it is. It would never be you.
Six. You are?
Case number 6061527.
Right.
The first case on the agenda, Amanda Green,
mm-hmm.
Madam Chairman. The city of Daytona has assessed a lien of $15,000 on property belonging to Mr. Gonzalez, located at 616 Tucker Street here in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The alleged code violations have been cleared up at this particular point. And my client, the reason why they, I guess, weren't done as timely as they should have been done, because my client walked out of the state at various places. And as soon as I found out that everything was not in place, I made a determination to have it done. I think the grass needed to be cut. There are some old bicycles and things like that in the yard. All that was cleared up within, I think, 2 weeks after I found out that the situation was needed to be corrected. That was done. The property is valued at, I believe, maybe $40,000, $45,000. And we believe that the lien assessment should be abated at this particular point in view of the fact that they seem to have been somewhat minor violations in the first instance. My client cleared them up at this particular point, And the property, I believe, at this point has been rented to a tenant. I was rented to a tenant at the time. And I believe it may have been the tenant's obligation to do so. I'm not certain whether or not the tenant is still there or not. I haven't talked to my client in the last 3 days in reference to this matter. But we're asking that the lien be abated, that the lien be reduced to an amount sufficient enough to justify that kind of assessment. We believe that a reduction in the amount of around $13,000 would be sufficient in this particular instance, plus the cost of Mrs. Stinson. Stinson's investigation, which I don't know what that would be, but I assume that he's going out there 3 or 4 times at least, and we believe that that would be a fair disposition in this case in view of the property value itself and in view of the fact that the code violations have been cleared up at this point and the property has been leased to a tenant, is on the lease to a tenant at this point. So we ask that you all take those things into consideration as a mitigating fact, as mitigating factors at this point, and reassess the lien, abate the lien in the amount of $13,000.
You want the lien to be $13,000?
No. I want the lien to be $2,000.
That's what you said. I
beg your pardon. I didn't mean to say it that way. I mean to say we're asking that the lien be abated. And I think abatement means reduced.
It does. Yes, it does.
Abated $13,000. My client will pay $2,000, whatever the, it says $15,024 here, which is a recorded lien, just a quick little point. My client will be asking that the lien be adjusted to $2,024 plus whatever cost of investigation at this point, and we will get a check to the city today, no later than tomorrow, even before close of business.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Now, we'll hear from staff. Mr. Jackson, good morning.
Yes. Okay. I guess I can go up there. I'll do that. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. As indicated by Mr. Stanton, this is a lien review. The position of the city is that the property, the owner did not come into compliance. The history of the case is that this had been recited as a prior problem. The staff went back, cited them again. Over the period of that, from the time it was cited, the perspective of the inspector was that the property had gotten worse. Ultimately, they were a fine of $300 per day was imposed, which is a high fine, which indicates a perspective of lease of staff that it was a serious event. As indicated by Mr. Stanton, this is investment property or rental property. The best response in the lien review is a response that says that they forgot that they needed to get it done and they forgot to get it done. Looking even at the material that was submitted, the invoices, they were done late August, late September, and around the time that now they have these requests, but not anywhere near the time when they were due to be in compliance. The property remained in non-compliance for 50 days beyond the date that the order was imposed. And so the position of the staff is willing to make a recommendation that the lien be reduced to 50% of the amount that was assessed, which is $7,512. And so that's the recommendation of staff, that it be reduced to $7,512 as a fair and reasonable reduction for not only the cost of what was a reoccurring and continues to be for the staff, but also for what the cost of what occurred here, having to come to the meetings and the overall impact of how that impacted that area of the community as it sat and remained in noncompliance.
Mr. Jackson, is it the property in compliance now?
The position of staff is, yes, we agree the property is now in compliance, and he submitted invoices showing that he ultimately did get contractors to do what was necessary, well, as I said, well after the fact.
I've noticed there was some, is there any other liens that are on that property that the city has?
I have to look to Mr. Stenson, and he's shaking his head no.
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Stenson, is there something you'd like to tell us? To add to it?
John Stenson, Code Enforcement Inspector. No, I have nothing to add.
Okay. All right.
May I just respond, Madam Chairman, just one more time?
Sure.
Mr. Gonzalez spent, and I've submitted the invoices to Mr. Jackson's office, and I think that they...
We have.
Mm-hmm. I mean... If the property is only valued at something in the neighborhood of $45,000,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it doesn't matter what to me. It's immaterial what the property is valued at. It's a piece of property that needs to be kept up.
Yes, ma'am. But this is the first, from what I was told. Now this is the first offense, and even though you can't excuse it, there are certain extremes that you go to that would be unreasonable in the eyes of just morality and law in and of itself. We believe that this is an extreme at this particular point. In view of the fact that he spent nearly, the invoice reflects that he spent, if I'm not mistaken, $1,100, $4,100, $950, $1,500, and it goes on. He spent somewhere in the neighborhood of almost $10,000 cleaning up the property.
Mm-hmm.
This is a first offense.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he's learned his lesson that you all mean business when you try to get these things under control and keep the city beauty. That's what I've told him at this particular point. Now, if this was an ongoing, continuous thing where he'd done this in the past with this same property, I could see Mr. Jackson's position more likely than not. I cannot see that kind of assessment at this point in view of the fact that the code violations were cleared up. It took time to do so because Mr. Gonzalez was out of the state, but that doesn't matter. She was
correct.
Well, to do it for him, and I told him that.
Right.
So we've gotten everything in compliance at this point. We're asking this board to abate this in a reasonable amount. $7,500, in our estimation, is not a reasonable amount in view of the fact that this is a first offense. If it were a third or fourth offense, and nobody has made any effort up until yesterday to get things done after it was learned that they were not done, that would matter to me, and it would matter to you all. And my assessment to my client and my advice to him after that date would have been, hey, you know, you got a good deal at 50% reduction. We ask him that you give him a slap on the hand this time and say, you know, we want to be watching this property from now on, and if it goes out of compliance again, you won't get another strike. That's what we're asking for. So we believe that a $2,000 assessment reduction, a $2,000 assessment plus whatever cost of investigation would be a fair assessment at this point in view of the fact that this is a first offender.
Go ahead, Mr. Harrington.
Since it's part of the record that I have here, how long has the owner owned this property?
Mr. Harrington, I don't know how long he's owned this property, but I believe that he probably bought it at the distressed sale on a foreclosure.
Yeah, $100. So we're talking about a total investment of this $45,000 value of $10,400. So since we're talking about money, it isn't as doesn't appear as drastic as you paint the picture.
I don't know whether or not he paid $100 for it.
Well, that's what's listed here.
He said he paid $100. Well, that's through default, I would imagine. And besides that, he's already put about $10,000 into it. So the idea of it at this point, if Mr. Gonzalez were a professional at evading codes and so forth in this city or other cities or whatever, if he had a history of that instead of being a first offender and had not cleaned up the property as it is now, that would matter to me more so than this assessment in the sense of the $15,000 that the city is now asking or requesting to be imposed as this lien. Everything has been done. Mr. Gonzalez has made a good faith effort. He spent $10,000, even if he paid only $100 for the property. He's already spent $10,000 just on the command of the city code enforcement boat to try to get the debris or whatever it was that needed to be off of this property. And if he hadn't bought it and somebody else got it in the meantime and they were not as responsible as Mr. Gonzalez, you would still be faced with the same thing. You'd probably be faced with something of a more egregious nature, in the sense that if someone else had purchased it or whatever, you may be running into this problem on and on and on and on. You won't have that for Mr. Gonzalez.
Yeah, and we could have had somebody buy it and put a Hilton up onto it.
Let's not go there
because we don't know. We know what he did or didn't do, and
yes,
that's
sir.
What we're evaluating.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Mr. Jones, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments?
Madam Chair, I did have one, just one more point.
Go ahead.
Just one more thing I wanted to point out to the board is that the my records show that the first notification on this property was January 27th of 2015, and that was by a certified mail, giving us February's compliance date. We can see from the invoices that it wasn't until September that he even got contracted to do anything. It's unfortunate that it took a fine and a substantial fine before any action took place. And I think that's something that the board should take into consideration. I think that the staff is being quite generous in asking for a 50% reduction based upon those circumstances.
Now, someone signed for that notice, Lisa Gonzalez, I think is her name. Is that, what relation is she to the owner?
Madam Chairman, that's Mr. Gonzalez's wife.
Wife, okay. All right. But that was signed in January.
Yes, ma'am. I don't know whether or not he personally got it or whether or not it just laid around for a while, because he's out of the state a lot of times himself. The wife left at the home place, and, you know, it's just one of those things. I've known Mr. Gonzalez for 20-some years, and I know the routine of his existence and how he goes about things.
All right. Are we ready for a motion? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the lien amount to $7,500, subject to the being paid within 30 days with a fine. Will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. $7,500. Payable within 30 days. Please see the secretary. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on. We'll move on with case number one, hearing of cases. Case number one is CEB07-15-34, Myron Lichten. Is that person here? No. At 960 Magnolia Avenue.
Madam Chair, members of the board, you may recall this is the case last month where there was a foreclosure sale, a judicial sale, but it wasn't quite finalized because of other things that had to occur.
Right.
That's been since finalized. Because of the nature of what the violation is, the desire of staff is to request that this be dismissed, and if it's necessary to bring it back before the board with the new owner, they'll make that determination.
You want a straight dismissal, or you want a non-compliant dismissal?
A straight dismissal.
Okay.
Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to dismiss this case. I have a motion from Mrs. Himes. Do I have a second? Second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Case number two, CEB07-15-35, Robert L. and Bernadette White.
Thank you.
Good morning. All right, I'm going to hear from code board first, and then we'll let you speak. Okay? Yes, go. Sorry. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Gladys White Murphy. I reside at 370 Parkway Street here in Daytona, and I'm not the owner of the property. He is my brother. Mr. Robert White is my brother.
All right, I'll just wait a second. Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This case is before you for imposition of a fine continued from the previous meeting. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. We kind of left off with the staff was asking for a imposition of a fine last meeting, and it was only based upon the circumstance where the respondent had pretty much indicated that they had done all they could do. And while it's not in compliance, and they really weren't didn't have any knowledge of how or when they'd be able to bring it into compliance. The status of the property remains the same. There was some effort to try and assist Mr. Bryant from the city. Charles Bryant had gotten involved, or at least the program tried to see if they could assist. They weren't successful in an ability to provide any assistance, and the status remains the same. I don't know, unless there's something that's changed with the respondent, the status remains that it remains in non-compliance, and the staff is left to request a $100 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
This property is
vacant and not homesteaded?
Well, I guess at the time it was the owner resided, which I think is the criteria for the $10,000 maximum. I mean, I presume that's changing. I think they told us that, but I think we based it on the criteria at the time of when we cited.
Good morning. What would you like to say?
The property has been missing work and everything on the house and everything. And I'm trying to get my friends that my best friends that I've actually worked with and I've been to work. I didn't get to work on their house and I got to be able to work on their house. I just need to get to the beginning of it and get my help together and try to get my people there to work on their house. I don't feel like people just got to take my home from me. I bought their home in 1987.
Would you please speak into the mic, because I'm having a hard time hearing.
I bought that house in 1987. That me and my children were living out of it. I feel that house right here. That was my father's house back there. That my father got right here. And I had to set up a whole new house. I had to keep the bags of the house. They look out to see what all that needs to be done. So actually, I'm more than the job in the office, the more than I am to
try to check and see if they've tried to get everything started and we can get out of the building to work on. I have to come to the work on the house and like that. I closed the house up and I cut the limb from over the top of the home and everything. I don't think it's fair. Just come up and say that I haven't done anything to my home.
Well, what have you done in the last month, Mr. White?
I cut from over the top of the house, over the top of my home, and everything. And I boarded it up, and I keeps the grass cut, and I goes over there every day. And I feel like I can get out of my bed and go around and check on my home. That fence that you're looking at right there, I put that fence up there just to keep the people out from walking around and walking through my yard. That area used to be a very bad drug area dealing and everything. The reason I put the bushes around every one of my trees, because I had children in my home and I didn't want nobody running through there, running and looking over in my home, disturbing me and my family.
Mr. White, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have been asking you when you think this will be finished.
This will be finished?
And this has been since March.
Since March? I wasn't even out of the nursing home in March. Yes, ma'am.
That's when the notification occurred in March.
Yes, ma'am.
And so we've been asking you since, I think, July, when you could have this work done. It's now October, and I'm going to ask you one more time.
Yes, ma'am.
When you think you could have this work done.
Well, it's going to be very near future, ma'am. If everybody could back off. So I done got my friends and family that I'm back here in Daytona and everything.
And you don't live there, is that correct?
No, ma'am. I'm trying to repair the house. I'm living in another place.
Okay. Okay.
What happened with Mr. Brown?
Yeah, I'll see if he's able to speak to it. I'm not sure. Or not. I don't know.
Good morning, Mr. Bryant.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I was asking what happened in the state of the mic. You have funds available or out of the area or something?
From a Charles Bryant Redevelopment Project Manager. From a redevelopment standpoint, they are outside the redevelopment area. However, I made an effort to try to help them and assist them by utilizing some community organizations. I went out on the site and I looked at it, and I did notify a sister and told her that the work I thought after looking at it was more extensive than we could take on. I thought it was something that we could get somebody to come in and make some repairs, paint up the place and fix it up, and try to get him out of a cold situation. But there are no funds available. From a community development standpoint, he would have to have insurance on the property. He would actually have to be living in the property, and there could be no code violations.
Right.
So he wouldn't qualify from that standpoint. If he had been in redevelopment, maybe there would be something that I could help him with. But
right.
After looking at the property, it's more extensive than I looked at when I originally started.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I think you can see the and if you don't see it, I'll express it again. The staff is sympathetic to the circumstance. I mean, they see the situation, they understand the limits. However, at the same time, this is citizen generated complaint. It's not in compliance. We don't really have any other options. I think the thing that Mr. White should understand, though, is that if indeed it is something he's working on and could remedy, that I believe that this board would probably keep that in mind if he came back for a legal review after the fact. But at this stage, we just don't really have any other real options from an administrative perspective on how we can manage this without any plan of a remedy or how to settle with the citizen needs of improvement of the property.
That would be any comments from the board? I tend to feel that way, that we should impose the fine now, and if the property comes into compliance, you can come back in and we'll talk about a lien review where we would reduce the amount of the fine if the property was in compliance. All right. So is that, are everybody okay with this one? Chair will entertain a motion to oppose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective today, October 8th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion? Somebody else like to make a motion?
I'd like the board to speak. Why are we not making a motion or offering a counter?
I said that I would entertain a motion. I have no idea why no one.
Well, let's discuss it.
You can counter.
Discuss it. We seem to be going nowhere. I mean, the defendant doesn't want to be bothered. This is his statement, but that's not the way it works. He has been bothered because he's in violation, and we have this in front of us. Doesn't have the money to fix it. We've got to do something with it. Maybe $100 is too much. I mean, sooner or later, if there's no money, it's never going to be fixed. It's going to go to the maximum, whatever fine we say. You're going to fix it. But we're obligated.
I'd like someone to make a counter motion, please.
Yeah, we're obligated to require you to have some kind of a time limit.
Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Can I ask staff something?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, I have to leave that in the hands of the board, but the staff's position is they've taken the position that our minimum fine recommendations would be at the $100 fine for residential. So that's the minimum recommendation that the board is able to, I mean, that the staff is able to make, $100
fine. The board can pick whatever fine it wants to. Go ahead, Mr.
Thank you.
I make a motion that we assess $50 a day.
$50
a day. Yeah, the motion is that to impose a fine of $50 per day, effective today, until compliance is achieved or it reaches the maximum of $10,000. We have that motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Harrington is the second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Mrs. Heim?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, good. I'm sorry, that's the best we can do, and that's what this case is finished.
Yes, ma'am. Next time you can see.
Well, hopefully that's true. Okay. Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, if you try to save this neighbor
good.
Here and try to work on this table.
Good.
Great.
Good luck to you. All right. Case. Okay. Case number 3, CEB 0815-41, is in compliance. We'll move on to case number 4, CEB 09-15-42. James L. and Phyllis Bayea. Anyone here for this case? All right, no respondent.
Yeah.
Mr. Jackson. There was no respondent last time, I think, as well.
I think this time it may be as a result of the inspector. The inspector, John Stinson, indicates that they're making progress, and he's requesting that we amend to the next cutoff in this case.
So, making progress, they don't have a business tax receipt, and they don't have a permit for tree removal. What progress are they making?
I will.
They either have it or they don't.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I'll look to the inspector and
okay.
I'll look to Mr. Stinson. Give you
all right, Mr. Stinson.
Good morning again. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector. Qualification to run file with the city. They have obtained the permit
for
the tree removal. It's been issued and fine.
Okay.
They are having their rental inspection today.
Okay.
At 10 o'clock.
All right.
I'm just asking to amend pending the outcome of that inspection.
Okay.
One question. Are they required to replace a tree when they remove something without a permit?
The building department usually gives them that parameter. It depends on the kind of tree, the size of the tree.
Okay, so it doesn't come under your permit. Doesn't come under this board.
No, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff date, which is 11-4. to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $100 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Case number 5, CEB09-15-45, John Supa. The respondent present? No, respondent wasn't present last time either. Okay.
Okay, this one is, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The property still remains in noncompliance. Staff is requesting a fine of $300 per day to a maximum of $15,000. The inspector is John Stenson, and I turn to Mrs. Stenson for any factual questions you may have.
Mr. Stenson, you have any? I think the pictures say what's going on. Has anything been happening?
Good morning again. John Stenson, code inspector. My application on file with the city. Nothing good is happening with this property. It's okay. On a downslide. The multiple complaints from the neighbors. It's just deteriorating on a daily basis. Overgrown, unsecure at times, extremely dilapidated all the way around. The fence is coming down. It's just bad all the way around.
Pictures tell the story. Any comments from the board?
Have you been in contact with the owner?
No, sir. Every attempt, I've had to actually post the property.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $300 per day against the respondent effective today, October 8th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, now we'll move on to our new cases. Would be case number 6, CEB 10-15-55, J.C. and Diane Bryant. Respondent present, please come forward and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is J.C. Bryant. My address is 29 Lake Vista Way, Ormond Beach.
Where?
Ormond Beach.
Ormond, okay. Okay, we will hear from code and then we'll give you a chance to explain, okay? Tell us what you'd like to.
Sure.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. The simple statement is that the property is in noncompliance. It's really dealing with a zoning issue that's trying to remedy this whole thing. I have Mr. Menendez from our zoning department who wanted to be heard, and I'd like to call him to address the board on this as well. Mr. Menendez.
That'd be great. Good morning.
Good morning, board. Chuck Miranda, Permits and Licensing Division.
What? Will you say your last name again?
Chuck Miranda.
Miranda?
Permits and Licensing
okay.
Division,
thank you.
City of Daytona Beach. Yes, I do. We had a permit submitted for the unpermitted work. Our comments were sent to the applicant, which is the contractor involved. Don't believe he's here right now. Okay, our comment had to do with the elimination of parking spaces due to the closing of the garage areas. I believe those two garage bays were closed in. And what we wanted to remedy was a site plan showing the replacement of the two parking spaces. Our code section, Article 8, Section 8.1, has to do with nonconformities. We do not... The purpose and scope of the section of the code is to preclude the expansion of a nonconformity. In this case,
right.
There may be nonconforming parking here, and by eliminating the two spaces, he would be
worse
expanding the nonconformity.
Okay.
And in this case, the conformity, in order to conform to parking, it's two spaces per unit. Okay. So what we asked for in our comments was a site plan showing the parking, showing what was there before and what's proposed. Now, we can see that the garages were eliminated by the closing up of the front to make them storage areas versus garages.
That was the purpose of closing the garages?
We don't know that. We just know what code, what the code case was. It appears there was a two openings.
Right.
And those two closings of the garage door openings, which then eliminated two parking spaces.
Right.
No permit issued to do that?
There was no permit for the work. There was a submittal by a contractor for the closing of the spaces, which our comments reflected. If you're closing the spaces, show us the parking spaces that replace.
So you did not issue a permit.
A garage counts as a parking space. So elimination of two spaces, show us compliant spaces for replacement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Klieg, do you want to add anything?
No, ma'am.
All right, and this, you're first notified on the 1st of July. All right, what would you like to tell us, sir?
We tore the two things apart yesterday.
You what? I'm sorry.
We removed the two coverings of the garage yesterday.
The mics are not working. I can barely hear.
Oh, no. It's really difficult to hear. I don't know whether it's on or not.
I have.
Can you now?
Okay.
Hold on one second.
He turned it up a little.
Okay. All right. Let's try it again.
I've been doing business. I've had rental property apartments in Daytona Beach for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, for a 10-year period, I had 47 units. I've never had a problem with code. I've never had a problem with the police. I've owned 828 North Grandview for 16 or 17 years. And during that period of time, because those spaces were, it was a building that had walls on each side and the back. And the homeless occupy the lot next to me and have for years. And they use my garage or those spaces for a place to sleep, drink, puke, defecate.
Okay, I get it.
And this has been going on for years.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
So the last time that I asked one of my tenants to pick up some unmentionables at the garage, he said, why don't we just close those in and stop that? Because he's an elderly man, he has an elderly wife, and he was fearful of the homeless people that were sleeping there because we know they're not like the next door neighbor. You know, they're people that's been around the block. So we closed them in. And I didn't realize you had to have a permit because we weren't doing anything structural. We didn't just close. I didn't ever.
When you say you closed them in, then what did you mean if you weren't doing anything structural?
All I was doing is just putting a piece of plywood up to cover the front so people can't get in there.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions now? Because I don't want to forget what I want to say. But it looks like you had the garage doors there were metal of some sort, those garage doors? Or was there no door there?
The garage door on the left has been there since I bought the place 18 years ago.
Okay.
So then there was the one.
Is there no way to lock that?
No. The one that was open now, and there was two more. And that's where the homeless people were sleeping, doing their stuff. We had a trailer pushed back in there. They haven't been used for parking ever in 16, 17 years.
So you could not, were you able to install, you couldn't install a garage door there that would lock?
Yeah, you could. But garage doors are $1,700 a piece.
What was your solution to this problem?
Is to put plywood to cover the opening.
Did you paint the plywood?
Sure did.
Okay.
I have a question. Did I hear you say that you removed the plywood?
Did I hear you say you removed the plywood?
I talked with Charles from zoning yesterday, and I said, Charles, I just need somebody to tell me what I need to do. And he said, unless you can show me a site plan for 8 parking spaces,
no,
I'm not going to approve this. So I said, that's enough for me. Went out there and said, tear it down. Because it's not important to me except for the fact of the homeless being a problem. And I think
Have you reported that? Do you have a no trespassing warrant on the house?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a no trespassing warrant with the police?
No trespassing
with the police. It's a little different than just sticking up a sign that says no trespassing. Just curious whether you have that. No, okay.
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
I think we're going off kind of to tangents now. The violation did or did not occur, and we've been trying to respond it.
Sir.
I appreciate your flight, but that's not this board's responsibility.
Okay. True. Go ahead. Is there anything else you want? So right now, you have, it's just an open space. And that has one or two, I'm just confused, does that have one or two parking spots there? Would that provide one or two?
Because
the one garage provides two, it's a two-car garage.
No, that parking, that opening you see right there,
yes,
there's two more just like it that we boarded up that you can't.
All right, I just am not seeing the pictures then to make it clear to me what I'm looking at, right?
So we just boarded up two, we left. We thought maybe that would solve the problem. We left one open because the guy that lives there, he tinkers with stuff.
How many units are in there?
4.
So you need 8 spaces. And you boarded up how many of them?
2.
So you need to provide 2 more parking spaces.
Right.
The issue here is he boarded them up without a permit. There's 2 that you still have boarded up. Are there 2 that are still? None of them are boarded up. Then it's back to the original condition.
So it's back.
Okay.
It's back to where it was before.
Okay.
So does that
dismiss it?
I'm sorry.
If you took the boards off? I'm going to ask code enforcement people, does that bring you back into compliance?
The doors off?
Yeah. The boards. He took the boards off. Does that bring him back into... That's what I'm trying... All my questions are kind of leading to that. I'm not trying to make it difficult.
My credentials are on file. Well, also, when you got to look right there on the right-hand side, the original complaint came in and was using this as a unit to be rented. And the door right there, he put in. We're not talking about for the homeless people. We're looking. He's using it as storage right now. So therefore, when he constructed it, he put this door in without a permit. He put the 2x4s, put the framing in without a permit. And that's the original call came in that he's possibly using this unit as a rental unit. So therefore, when I came in contact with him, he said no, he's using it as storage. And thus, the third picture showing the storage. But still, no permit was obtained at all, and in order to get the permit, it goes back to zoning, that he needs an extra 2 spaces.
If I may, Madam Chair, the position is that he said non-compliance,
right.
And we're asking for a finding of non-compliance. Give him next cutoff to come into compliance,
okay.
And all those clarifications
and
as to exactly what he needs.
So the only thing he needs to do is be issued. The contractor needs to follow up with him.
Clarification on all the things you need to do can be worked out between the
okay.
staff.
All right. I just was unclear looking at the picture what was going on, that's all. I didn't understand how many garages there were, where the garages were, what was boarded up, what wasn't boarded up, what had a regular door on it, what didn't. But be that as it may, we're not in compliance as of today. Correct? Okay.
I have opened up what I've
done. It's not what you've done. That's between you and the staff.
Right.
Right now, if you become in compliance, that's between you and staff, not between you and the board. Right now, the board has to make a decision. Are they in non-compliance? We want to give them some time. That's the decision. Covenant compliance, and you and...
Right.
If I undo what I did...
Yeah, that's not our decision.
Right. That is not our decision. Thank you. All right. Are we ready to for a motion on this?
We are moving to Tampa. I've always bought a house over there. I have 29 apartments right now. Look, I have more than I can handle with what I have. I certainly wouldn't want something else to rent.
I understand. It's not... The issue is in compliance or not in compliance. It's fine. There is nothing that we can do. You can work with code and you can work with the building department. But as far as we're concerned, it's either compliance or non-compliance, and they're telling us it is not in compliance, and so that's what we'll rule. And the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $100 a day. Is there such a motion? The next cutoff date is November 4th. Up to $1,000 per day. All right, I'm going to restate the motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is November 4th, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? All right. Motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. This case is okay.
They just found you in non-compliance and gave you until November 4th to correct everything. So then you just want to get rid of the code
check. Right. All right. Now we have case number 7 and case number 8. Is Mr. Maroney here? No, he's not here.
Did you have someone here that came with him?
If in fact he can be there within the next in the next 10 minutes, I would be willing to skip to the other cases. But if he can't be here, then we're going to hear it. All right, we'll just start with the other cases. But I need an answer on that one, please. Okay. Good. All right, so we are going to skip to case number 9, CEB 10-15-49, Great Alliances Holding, at 1201 and 1209 Kennedy Road. The respondents present? No. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Newell.
Madam Chair, members of the board, David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. This case is a apartment complex. I believe it's 11 units. This property is brought before you for no business tax receipt since 2013. The fire alarm system's not maintained and inspected as required by the National Fire Protection Association, along with emergency lights that are not maintained. The only change in this property is they did have the fire alarm inspected. However, there's numerous violations that go along with that. So, myself and members of staff recommend non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay. Anything from the board? Yes, I like separate. I don't know whether we need to. Do we need to separate the business tax receipt out of this? We can do it.
As far as the 1201 and 1209, is that what we're discussing? It's all in non-compliance, yes.
Okay, it's all in non-compliance. Well, we'll just do it in one motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is November 4th, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
Yes.
Hi, Mr. Smart. Made the motion. Mrs. Hines is the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, let's move on to case number 10, CEB 10-15-50, Great Alliances Holding, 1229 Kennedy Road. Is this part of the same property or the completely different?
No,
we didn't combine the cases.
The other two properties of 1201 and 1209, they're on the same parcel.
Okay.
There's numerous or three or four properties in between that property,
okay,
the other property, and this property. So they were split for that reason.
Right. Okay.
So these are the same violations as it relates to the last case of 1201 and 1209. It is currently in non-compliance. We are asking for non-compliance next cutoff, November 4th.
Okay. I just wanted to explain something. What we combined was the entire violation, the business tax receipt and the fire alarm system not maintained. All right. So for case number 10, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, November 4th, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Such a motion? Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Did you get an answer?
No.
Huh. What?
Okay. She didn't get it.
All right, well.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
You may want to continue on.
We'll continue on.
And the only reason I'm saying that is because all the rest of these are what will be a world time for the 11th through 14th, but we'll handle them one at a time.
Okay.
But they're not anything contested.
All right. Let's go to case number 11, CEB 10-15-51. Michelle Weiss and Lynette Johnson. Respondent present. Good. Please come in, state your name and address, and be sworn in. Thank you. And then we'll let code tell us what's going on, and then I'll give you a chance to speak.
Okay. Michelle Weiss, 1313 Margina Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114.
Can I swear or affirm that the testimony you provided
is the truth?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. What would you like to tell us? I'm sorry. It's Mr. Jackson. Go right ahead. Let's hear.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property has been cited numerous times over the years, about 8 or 9 times over the last few years. The property is now in compliance. The staff is just asking for a finding of compliance, non-compliance and compliance.
Okay. Do you like to say something?
I've actually been in trouble 3 times with the city for my boat. The first time I didn't even know that I wasn't allowed to put it in the driveway. I've owned my home for almost 20 years. I've owned my boat for about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the first time the city got on me, I didn't even know I wasn't allowed to keep it in my driveway in a private neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The second time was because my air conditioner broke and I had FPL come out to give me a grant to put insulation in my attic. So FPL had to come out and get my attic, which is in my garage, so I have to pull my boat out for that. Then Vern's Insulation came to put the insulation in the attic. Their hopper broke in their truck, and they had to come back the following week to fix that. That was the second time that I got in trouble for leaving it out too long. This time was only because my boyfriend's brother was dying in Maine, and I didn't have anybody to put it back in the garage, so I had to wait to find a friend to come
so
put it in there for me.
So it's now where it's supposed to be,
yes,
correct?
Yes, keep it in the garage,
fine.
Because
okay.
I don't want it to get sun damage.
No,
now
okay.
A few times for those instances and for me to put Christmas decorations or holiday decorations up. For the most part, I keep it in my garage. I don't want it sun damaged.
Well, it's not supposed to be out in your driveway.
Right.
That's true. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion? Thank you, Mr. Harrington, for the motion, and second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. So we have 4-1. Yes.
So 4-1.
4-1. Motion carries. So all right. So as long as you don't have your boat in the driveway anymore, nothing needs to be done. But if you have it in the driveway, again, we you will come back to the board and we will consider imposing a fine.
Okay.
Or you will get a fine and it will be automatic. Okay? Right? No? I thought it was a will fine. All right, it's not automatic. Okay. All right, case number 12, CEB 1015-52. Angela and Guy Dermier. Anyone here? 1224 Ruth Byrne Road. Same deal.
Same deal. It was in non-compliance. Now it's in compliance. We're asking for a fine.
Okay. All right. Any questions? Is it in compliance now?
Yes.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye. Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 13. CEB 10-15-53, William Scotese, Gregory Brown, Deborah Scotese Brown. Large LV parked on the driveway at 1304 Sunland Road. Respondent present. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Same situation, just for the information of the board. This was a... all of these are complaint generated from Fairway Estates following their meeting.
Okay.
This one is one where they just seem that they can't find a place to put it back, saying they will move, but nevertheless.
So is it still there?
No, it isn't.
No, that's gone too. Okay. All right, so we're going to do the same thing we did before. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance, but currently in compliance for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Mr. Smart has a motion. Second?
Second.
Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. And case number 14, CEB 10-15-54, Timothy and Tamara Devine at 1404 Swanee Road.
Just for the record,
they're
they were
here.
Okay. They had to leave to go to work, but they were. It was
explained
to them that this would be a request for being in compliance, finding of non-compliance, and then compliance.
All right. Thank you. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation to be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion? Mr. Smart, a motion, a second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, we'll now go back to...
I'm just curious of the gentleman out here, if he's here for this case or if he may have been Miss...
I don't think that he's here and...
We're missing an announcement. I just wondered if he may have been here.
Yeah, I don't know. Did Mr. Maroney make it back? No. Okay. So would you like to come forward? Are you going to be testifying? Okay. Well, please come forward and be sworn in. And we'll allow... Code. We'll hear from Code first, and then you can speak. Go ahead.
Michelle Crepe. K-R-A-P-P-E. Yes.
Okay, thank you. We'll hear from Code first, and then you can speak. Hey, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, as you can see, we have two different sets of violations. So we'll look at number 7, which is the specifically code violation, failure to maintain roof. This is a multifamily property. The
which property is it? The tile roof or the other roof?
Tile.
What? Tile. Okay.
Yeah, inspector for the case is Tom Klieg. It's here on a violation of failure to maintain roof. It's a tenant complaint of leaking, and the inspector informs me that the property remains in non-compliance and requesting next call for it to come into compliance. I tend to Mr. Klieg for any further facts or questions.
Okay. Mr. Klieg.
Yeah, Officer Klieg, code enforcement, my credentials are in file. I apologize, I couldn't get a closer picture.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to be sure.
When I went to do the inspection, the tenant moved out, and I never came in contact with the landlord. They refused calls and so forth. So there's a tarp on the top right of it and on the left side of it, but the roof is completely leaking, and right now no permits were obtained, and the tarp's still under to this date. So.
Okay.
Are there other tenants in the building?
Yes.
How many units are in the building?
Five.
I'm asking you. I don't know. Could five? Mr. Klieg, do you know how many units are in the building? And five?
Yes, five.
Five units. Thank you. Okay.
The leak is, Mr. Klieg, is someone in that one?
I'm pretty sure that one's vacant right now. Yes, that one is vacant right now.
All right, do you have anything you'd like to tell us, Ms. Crepe?
I would like to ask that he have more time till the next date to provide that it's fixed.
I mean, we're just here to say whether this is in compliance or not in compliance, and we give you a certain amount of time to bring it into compliance, mm-hmm. and then at that point you'll come back and you'll either be in compliance or not.
Right.
So, I mean, that's right now you're... Okay. And if you're not in compliance, then there's consideration of a fine, so...
Yes.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? All right, motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, now we'll hear the next case from Mr. Newell. So the reason I asked if there were five or four units or whatever, because it then doesn't, it falls under the state laws, correct? And not the city.
David Newell, City, Daytona Beach Fire Department. I'm not sure about that. I know under NFPA or what we inspect, it's anything over four units. So when I it's over the amount of units where my violations would apply.
Okay. All right. Well, go ahead and tell us about violations.
Again, just like Mr. Klieg's, this is a tenant-driven complaint. I was able to access some of the units. So as you'll see here, they do have a partial sprinkler system on the property. The sprinkler system currently is not even turned on. So essentially, it is shut down. So the life safety of the tenants in those specific areas don't have the protection levels that are required for that. The rest of these have to deal with a lot of the accessibility as it relates to stuff like emergency lights. There's a lot of vertical openings, such as I got in these units, unfortunately Mr. Klieg was unable to. As you'll see, there's actually, through some of these pictures, the drywall has gone in the roof from the leaking. There's certain areas where there are no, you can see the insulation. In one of the units, somebody is living where the tenant complaint came from. That tenant is no longer there. We have many smoke detectors that are not operable, or not even there, or some of them not operable. So there's numerous violations throughout the property. What we are asking for is the sprinkler system to be turned back on, inspected by a licensed contractor within 5 days of today. And then the rest of subsequent violations are currently in non-compliance also, and we're asking for the next cutoff of November 4th.
All right. So is this a safe building? Well, I just want to know if we need to order the city to, or authorize the city to secure the property.
The problem with that is there's people living there. So you'd have to relocate some of those people. So by taking your recommendation, Dave, that the 5 days, and is that going to cause a health, safety, or welfare problem for the people that are living there?
I'm not. The sprinkler system that's currently there at this moment that's not operational, that is considered a significant violation. I'm not prepared to actually say it's a health, safety situation. As in previous that I've come before the board, if it's if I'm explaining something significant that I want something done or we need to have something done quicker, I express that like I do in this situation.
That's fine. 5 days.
I'm expressing
5 days.
Need,
that's just what I wanted to know.
I'm expressing the need for that specific item to be corrected in a more quicker fashion, where the rest of this be accomplished or can be accomplished very quickly, most of it. But that's why we're asking for next cutoff.
Fine.
And if I could just make one inquiry from Mr. Newell as well, do you have any knowledge as to any reason why it couldn't be done in a 5 day time period?
As far as the sprinkler system is concerned, no, sir. All they would have to do is have the water turn back on, which basically means there's a valve outside to turn on. Basically, they need to call a contractor, have the contractor come out, turn the water on, do an inspection of it, and provide documentation that was done. So within 5 days, absolutely, provide the report to me, and we'll assess at that situation. At that time what the situation
what
is.
What is your recommendation if it's not done in 5 days?
My recommendation is we'll bring it back to this board next month in consideration of a fine. Maybe I'm going to have to ask Mr. Jackson, but maybe a retroactive fine at that time.
So it's a fine. It's not going to result in any other action.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you, sir.
You're talking about a fine, not any other action. You say 5 days. There's a reason for 5 days. If they don't do it in 5 days, they're coming back in 25 more days to this board. So what's the significance of demanding 5 days other than telling them that's what you want? What's our leverage if they don't do it?
Mr. Harrington, could I speak to that? Our hope and desire is, one, the economic threat, which is always our principal leverage of our ability to fine. And so the economic threat of a substantial fine after these 5 day time period reverting back to cover all of the time period that they're not in compliance is what we would seek to do through the code staff. Through the board.
Yeah.
If there's other action that the city needs to take, such as what y'all have raised before, then obviously the city will take a look at whether they need to take additional action for the safety.
That's what I'm asking. What would that be? When somebody decides to turn a sprinkler system off, that's a direct action. It takes thought. I'm going to turn the sprinkler system off. We come to them and say this is not a safe action to do. We give you 5 days to do it. I'm simply asking, what are we going to do if they don't turn it on? Besides say we're going to threaten you with money.
Yeah, this is over and above where we are right now to be able to answer those today. But yeah, the options and whatever else is and make additional orders, of course, if we want an emergency hearing and y'all are able to do that. But it would be, you know.
Okay. I
think the board is concerned. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Himes.
I understand that if within 5 days this is not done, that we would retro back to 8/21.
When it would come back here to this month, our desires.
No, I'm saying is, if it's not done in 5 days, it will revert back to 8/21.
defined.
That would be
That's their recommendation, our decision.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah. Right.
Not necessarily.
Making those recommendations when we come back, but it'll be the decision of the board as Mr. Sino said.
I think the concern is that what I have is that if you come back next month and nothing's done and the situation gets worse, give us some other options, because as opposed to vacating the place, as opposed to increased fines. Because we have some other authority that we have under 162 that we may be able to use if this doesn't work. For example, because there is a section in the code that says the board may enter any orders necessary to do what they have to do.
Absolutely.
But overall, we may need to do some. If they don't do what they're supposed to do, come on back and give us some other options. We don't want a building to be out there and be unsafe.
Yeah, because when you look at these violations, they're substantial violations. These are not, somebody's car parked in the wrong spot. These are substantial violations to me. So we need to, I think, make this language as tight as we can. That's all.
Two things. One is at the end of the five, and I just want to make it clear we're talking about five business days.
Right.
Also, I want to clarify that also.
That's fine.
So five business days. At the end of the five business days, when I go back to the property to assess that, I can be in communication with Mr. Jackson and Ms. Hampton and find out what course of action that we can go at that point with.
But the rest of these violations, then, we're just going to find them in non-compliance, correct?
Okay. Yeah, non-compliance on the rest of the violations.
Right.
Until next cutoff.
Until next cutoff.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Would you like to say anything, Ms. Krepek?
I think Mr. Jones had a...
Okay.
No, I think that's pretty substantial there.
Okay.
So,
thank you. All right, Mr. Jones?
On the sprinkler system, if you turn it on, is it in compliance? I've never seen a sprinkler system that's PVC. Have you seen the sprinkler system? Do you know that would be the code if it worked?
There are some very older systems out there that do have CPVC type.
Okay.
But at this point, we would look at the trained professionals of the contractor going out there to provide us with the information back whether that's compliance or not. So we would at that point utilize their knowledge, training, experience in that section to tell us that it's not what it's supposed to be, which is considered NFPA 25, is where that inspection part comes from.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Smart.
That I'm concerned about one officer is the safety of the people that live there. Further down the list, there are two other things. One is obviously the liability of the city, knowing that there is a lack of sprinklers operating. Is the city liable if something doesn't happen in 5 days? And obviously, the owner, that person is liable also.
First of all, the city. The city always considered it has a deep pocket, and anybody can sue anybody they want to sue. But I think as long as we took action today, which we're taking, we're finding them in non-compliance, giving them a reasonable time to come in compliance. We come back next month and nothing's done, and we need to take action. But I think as long as we do that, we're following the statute, we're fine. But I think that's what the board wants to let you. The board is concerned that if you come back next month and nothing's done or it's worse, let us know, and we'll do whatever we have to do to protect these people.
Absolutely, I appreciate that.
As you will.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to try and craft this motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to make the sprinkler system operational and inspected by a licensed contractor within 5 business days, and further orders that the other violations come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is November 4th, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Mr. Harrington made the motion. Mr. Jones made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Now, Madam Chair, and if you can hold on, we can do a...
I do have a draft order. It's to bring the sprinkler system in compliance.
Okay, our desire was to go ahead and execute it so that we can give them an order. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Even though there's one motion, it can be two orders.
Right.
I just have one order.
No, so, yeah, prepared it with a couple.
Okay.
So that they'll be in hand.
All right. So everything was in the motion that needed to be in the motion. Okay. 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 All right. So I will sign that today. So everything has to be fixed pretty quickly, Ms. Crappe. And then I think that's all we have on our agenda. We took care of everything else, correct? Is there any miscellaneous business?
I
know, it was difficult today.
Well, I think I don't know how long these air clearing systems or whatever they are, but that's of course a difficulty that we're kind of stuck with. I mean, it's affecting everyone that used this room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm sorry?
I
have a permit. I presume maybe.
You're a genius. Okay, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, motion and a second.
Second.